Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life designer style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's.
Okay, for tonight's cafe. Hi, this is Robin Misevich with Flowers for You. I'm in Riverside, California, and love to talk about the current trends and what's happening and giving a little more of a spiritual light perspective. We also have Mr. Jamie in the house. Hey, Mr. Jamie, welcome to the cafe. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. My name is Jamie, friend of Robin. I have a shop up in Seattle, Washington, tattoo. I do tattoos for a living. And here I am.
And there he is. Okay. And we have Miss Tony. Miss Tony, good evening, and thank you for joining us at the cafe. Can you tell people a little bit about you?
Well, my name's Tony Mosley, and I have a website that's coming up, which is called Nana Simple Wisdom. So I like to keep things simple. My husband and I also have an air conditioning company.
Okay. And Nana's Wisdom is a very exciting venture that I'm actually helping Miss Tony with. We're looking forward to having that up. And we get a little more further along, we're going to be letting everybody at the cafe know about that. So we're real interested in that. So normally we like to nosh on something while we're talking. So what do you guys think we should do for some appetizers? I'm thinking a nice spring salad. What do you think? Sounds real healthy and just kind of out there. We can even put some flowers in it. Have you guys ever had a salad with flowers in it?
No, but I know a lot of people
no.
that do.
Okay. So what are some things that you – I've never done that either. So what can you actually eat? I know you can do roses.
Dandelions.
Roses can be in a salad. Dandelions, yeah.
Yeah, those can be in the salad.
Uh-huh.
Have you actually eaten roses, though?
I have. I have eaten roses.
What does it taste like?
They're kind of sweet. They have really a very unusual taste. I'm trying to think of something food-wise that they actually kind of taste like.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a very unique flavor and texture for roses. It's good. It's good, but it's interesting. And I've had people where they actually will dip it in kind of watered-down honey and then put, you know, and have that in a salad or drizzle with a little bit of, like, crystal sugar. And do that.
Wow.
It's just like in the holidays and stuff, they'll take flowers and they'll coat them with, you can take egg whites and actually coat them in crystallized sugar. It's really, really pretty and very yummy. So there you go.
Wow. I've never heard of that.
Something you can do. Yeah. So it's very yummy. It's very yummy. So how about you, Tony? You've never had any either?
No, I never have. You'll have to make me some.
I'll have to make you some. Okay. So how about we do that? Maybe have a little bit of salad with a little bit of flowers in there. That would be kind of a fun thing. My daughter, Melissa, had been living up in the Portland area, and when she came back, she had brought me some rose tea. Oh, my gosh, is that really yummy? That's a wonderful experience if you've ever had. Yeah, because one of the national rose gardens is actually in Portland. And she brought me back some rose
tea.
It is
the Rose City, right?
Yeah, and that's wonderful, having some rose tea.
Is it made with rose hips?
It's made with roses, 100% roses.
No, I mean, mm-hmm. Rose hips.
Rose hips. Is it rose hips
yeah.
or rose petals? I'm not real sure. They say roses, though. I'm thinking it's roses, it's just the rose petals themselves.
Mm. Okay. Because rose hips, after the roses have bloomed.
Yeah, and I think rose hips are supposed to be very nutritionally, they're supposed to be very beneficial.
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Have lots of vitamin C in them.
And they're good for tea.
They're good for tea, yes. They're possibly good for tea.
And people also use them in their bath.
And yes, they're wonderful in the bath. If you've never had a floral bath, oh my gosh, that's a really wonderful thing to do. So we just had this spring solstice, actually, and it was a spring equinox. I guess it is a spring equinox. Equinox and the solstice is going on here, which was on March 20th, which is real interesting that we're just passing over that with the spring. And I know here in Southern California, oh my gosh, we've been blessed with just a lot of more rain than we had been in for, gosh, at least 3 decades. And the hills are green and the flowers are just going crazy. Everything is in bloom. So Jamie and I had been talking a little earlier today about, you know, what do we want to celebrate? We want to celebrate spring. We want to celebrate all the new things that are blooming and having a well-being and all the wonderful things that flowers just really bring into our lives with just a good sense of centeredness and health and fitness and all that kinds of stuff. So we wanted to kind of celebrate that, maybe talk with you about some of the upcoming events and things like that that are happening with all of our different nicks of the woods. So, hey, Jamie, you want to go ahead and tell us what's happening up in Washington and maybe in particular the Tulip Festival that's going to be coming up?
You know, you really put me on the spot. But
I
know
that because you're the man with the info, so it's good.
Well, not as much, Lindy, but I know the Skagit Valley is famous for its tulip festival. I don't know the dates because I don't really research that, but I know that it's a pretty big deal. There must be these tulip farms, and people come from out of state just to go take pictures and go walk around in the tulips and everything.
One of my sisters went up there last year, and she was one of those people who come from out of state because she was coming from fat. Oh my gosh, she just loved it. She just couldn't say enough about it, and she told me that I would just really go up there because I would just lose my mind because it's just so beautiful. So there you go.
The state itself, I mean, there's they have a big market down here in Seattle here, and they have lots of people that just sell the flowers that they grow, and a lot of them are the Vietnamese. I want to say it's Hmong, the whole villages that come out and they've relocated up here, and they put flowers and they come and sell them and everything. Some of them are those kind of dried flowers too. So they're when you do go to the market here, it's quite a spectacle of all the flowers and lots of different colors and stuff.
Well, if you go to their website, which is tulipfestival.org, it's got everything in there. And basically it's pretty much the whole month of April. So the 1st through the 30th, they're really promoting that and blooms. And they said their blooming date is according to Mother Nature. Good for them. Okay.
Right. I mean, you know, out here,
truth,
it was kind of nice about a month or so. Like, there was a stretch of nice weather, and all these little plants were blooming, and we're like, oh, plants, you're too early. But, you know, they were just doing what they were told. But now, boy, everything is in bloom. There's these nice, all the Chinese trees around here. Of course, with that comes allergies as well. So I do sympathize with people that have that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's kind of fun too because if you go to their website,
they definitely it is in the air, and it's definitely people can they take notice when it's things are pollinating, let's say.
Uh-huh. I love they have a mission statement that's really nice. It says to hold a community-wide celebration during the beautiful spring bloom, promoting the civic, economic, and social interests of the valley. This is there accomplished by the working of the local residents, the business community, government agencies, and nonprofit organizations through partnership. We intend also to educate the community as to the true year-round value and potential of the Valley Tulip Festival. Isn't that nice? It's a total community production. And if you go to the map, they actually have at least 22 different locations that you drive to feel, you know, to these all these different little farms. And
right.
Get to check out all the different stuff that they do. So how fun is that? Oh, my gosh. Hopefully they've got some food along the way. Because, you know, hey, what's
I'm
the point
sure
of all
do.
This stuff if you're not going to eat your way through the tulip festival? Because you know me. I'm like, we got to make sure we're eating here. So there you go. It's just all good.
Maybe they'll have
the
deep-fried tulips with the
You know what? I wouldn't eat the flowers. I'm sure there's other things that we could partake that would be just delicious. So,
there's other things to go with that.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, in Washington State, we've got tulip festivals. You go into Portland in the that area. They have the different flower festivals and stuff, especially the roses. I'm sure the roses are going to be just really, really wonderful. But, the, you know, when it comes to California, my goodness, California's just got all kinds of our agriculture and horticulture festivals that are going to be happening. And we're right on the cusp of all kinds of stuff happening. San Francisco, actually this weekend, the 23rd through the 27th, as we speak, they're having a large botanical and garden flower show. So if anybody in the local area up there in San Mateo area, in like Harmony Grove and all the wonderful places they have up there, be checking that out with San Francisco. Sacramento is going to be having theirs April 8th through the 11th, and I really love theirs. They're talking how it's just the diversity of California. They're really celebrating the whole state. And being with Sacramento, since it is our capital, they're taking advantage of that and having a lot of different displays of just all the different kinds of landscapes. I think out of 13 landscapes on the whole planet, we've got 11. So
wow.
California has a lot, yeah, it has a lot of diversity between the deserts and all the way to the ocean and just all the different rich and different levels of land that we have. So it's really a wonderful, exciting thing to do. And then if you go all the way down to San Diego, they're having the California arrangements where they're actually using poppies as one of the main things they do. California poppies, that's our state flower. And if you go down to the Balboa Park, and if you've never done that, I really encourage you to go down to the San Diego area to Balboa Park and just really take advantage of looking at the poppies. I actually have gone up to Lancaster. And you go to Lancaster, which is a little more in the desert area, a lot of farmland that's up there. And it's really fun in the early spring right now, which is perfect. You can actually go out to some of the fields that they're basically just letting rest. And the poppies, there'll be places where there's just nothing but orange. It's just amazing. And I can remember when I took my daughters when they were young, they would actually go sit in the poppies, and we couldn't find them because they were the poppies were so high, they were hiding inside the poppies. their little heads would pop out, and we'd take pictures of them just sitting inside the poppy fields. It was really cute, very, very cute. So one thing I wanted to share with everybody tonight was going to see the Paul Ecke Ranuncula Farm, and that's called the Flowering Fields. And you go to Carlsbad, California, and what Paul Ecke has done, he's been, his whole family has been into horticulture for, oh gosh, at least three or four generations. They're also well known for the poinsettias that they've put together. Back in the late 40s, they started propagating poinsettias and made them actually on a very commercial, pretty much on a national and international level. So they got into ranunculus knowing that the bulbs themselves were actually where all the money is. So they actually sell their bulbs all over the world, and that's basically one of the main reasons that they do that. But their ranunculus are basically for sale too. So you can actually go there now. I'm sure they send it. It's actually only maybe a couple miles from the ocean, so there's always a really beautiful ocean breeze there. It's not that far off the 101. Which most people, or is it the 405? I think it's the 101. If you're a Californian, you know where I'm talking about.
I've been there.
You can just drive up in there, and they've got at least 50 acres that have been dedicated to the ranuncula fields. And there's just a sea of ranunculas, and it's just to walk up in there, it has its own level of sacredness. It has its own level of just really, you know, feeling just the grace. There's such a grace walking in that. So, hey, Tony, why don't you describe what it was like for you being there? Since you've been there.
Well, I was amazed the way they had the colors laid out, because you see shades of each one, like in each field when you're going up, not just a little bit, but it's a lot. And then you just go up in there and you can't believe it. You're just surrounded by all this beautiful color that's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's just so many different shades they have.
Oh, and ranunculus, if you're not familiar with the flower, it kind of looks like a really open rose. It just has this full-petaled expression of the way that it does. It's very round, very full expression with just gobs of petals. And the colors are very brilliant, very, very brilliant colors. And just like she's describing, there's just these longer fields, and they'll do them all in like certain colors. There'll be a whole band of red or a whole band of pink.
Right.
And what's really
purple,
fun is
yellow.
They may put a white... Right, or yellows. The yellows are really, and the oranges and all the different colors that they have. They'll do them in these bands of color, and in between, there may be one that they're allowing them to propagate each other. So you'll get these really neat combinations of, say, red and pink together, or the yellows and oranges are starting to have the veins of some of the ranunculus getting multicolored. So the multicolored ones, those are my favorites. I love them when they're just all different colors. The variegated colors. Uh-huh. Yeah, the variegated colors. So they might have a white field right next to a red field, and you can see how the white ones have basically been getting cross-pollinated. So it's really, really cool. It's very, very interesting. They have, I'm trying to think of what they call them, but they're basically just like big carts where they basically take a trailer and they'll hook it up to the cart, and then you can sit in the back and it'll take you all around the different fields so you can see everybody, you know, working on the fields and cutting and stuff like that. People can walk around, but you can get the full tour if you basically, you know, it's kind of like the hoedown. Let's get in the back of the trailer.
The
hayride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's get a little hayride going on there. So it's very, very fun. And they do have really good, they have fabulous lemonade there. They got some homemade donuts. I mean, you know, they don't mess around, man. You just want to go there and have some snacks. Yeah, they've got candies and all different stuff. And they do have events. So there's different, depending on the weekend, who's sponsoring it, they'll have different kinds of shows and stuff going on there. So they might have a crafters fair, or they may have like a fashion show. And they have a lot of different ways that they're doing fundraising for each of the weekends. There's different themes each weekend that they go ahead and do that. And one of the fun things is you actually, on the way, you know, out, you can go ahead and get yourself a bunch of ranunculus, because they're basically harvesting them all the time, and they do sell them all the way into the commercial quality that they have, going to the L.A. flower markets and things like that, and selling them pretty much all over the world, and make them to where you can just buy them right there, which is really, really fun, too. You can get yourself a bundle of ranunculus as you go out. So it's just really a fun experience, great for to take your kids there. And last time I was there, which was last March, they actually were doing competitions where they had certain areas where they had different high schools and different horticultural clubs that were creating different kinds of themes for stuff. So they actually were having people vote on the different designs that they had done, and to see how things were going together. So lots of creativity, lots of using Mother Nature. They have everything working on a really lovely level with everything. And it's so nice that it's very close with Carlsbad. If you're living in the California area, it's just a nice day trip. It's something to go down there and enjoy it. Yeah, so very, very cool. So Tony is one of... Huh?
I said that seems like a lot going on there.
Yes.
You don't think it happens in the sound of it. When you get there, it is. There is a lot going on.
Oh, there's lots of stuff to do there. And they even still do have a tent where they go into the history of the Paul Leckie family, and even just pretty much the coastline of California, talking about the level of horticulture and all the different farms and stuff they have for flowers. You get to see some of the stuff when it comes on a floral level of just how what of an impact that California has on the flower markets and things like that, which is really cool. And it's great because a lot of the farms are really seeking to stay small and not get bought out by a larger industry and stuff like that too, even with the economy the way it is. I know personally with my flower shop, a lot of the people that I know actually they're going straight to the growers right now instead of going down to the LA market. So it's really giving the growers an opportunity to just be able to keep it going and be appreciated and make sure that people are actually getting it, you know, straight from the farms. So it's very, very fresh, and they're being appreciated. So that I'm really happy that they're seeking to keep that with an integrity as long as possible. But if you go there, there's actually one structure that's dedicated to the Paul Leckies with all the different poinsettias. So no matter what time of year, you can actually go in and see poinsettias blooming. So that's kind of a cool thing. Yeah, it's very cool. And they also have another structure where they have a whole bunch of orchids. It's a big greenhouse that has orchids and stuff growing in there. So it's kind of a trip. You're walking around looking at ranunculus, and then you look over and you can see the open windows where they have dendrobiums and cymbidiums and all different kinds of orchids and stuff growing too. So it just totally gives you you get a little high from all the flowers, let me tell you.
It must be quite fragrant too, right?
You know what? Ranunculus don't really have much of a fragrance.
No, the orchids, though.
Yeah, the orchids do just a little bit. And also that reminded me, too, because one of the places that actually does have a lot of fragrance is they have a maze that they built. At least they had it last year. I think it's one of the traditional things they've been doing the last few years. Well, they take sweet peas, and they'll let that grow tall, and they have like a larger head, so it's at least 6 feet, if not a little bit higher, so you can't really peek and cheat to figure out where you are. And and once these sweet peas start growing, oh my gosh, it's just so beautiful and it's so fragrant. It's just a wonderful experience to go in there and get lost in the flowers for a little while. So that's another fun thing that they have available for people to do stuff like that too. So I've totally done my sales job for that, huh? My goodness,
yeah.
Giving me all different kinds of ideas for that kinds of stuff. So, but I'm glad to have Tony join us tonight at the table, because she herself is just been quite the little gardener, and I invited her to talk a little bit about. We got about 9 minutes left, so we can maybe take about 5 minutes to talk about your house and your garden there, Miss Tony, and how wonderful that is with all the stuff we have going on with spring.
Well, in my backyard, I love trees. So we mainly bought the house because I have like 3 trees that are over 50 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so it like covers my whole front yard.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have put up, I don't like fences, but I like plants. So I put up, oh darn, what did I tell you that they're called, Robin, that I have up that are my fences? Orange
wasn't
flowers.
It the honeysuckle? I think it was a honeysuckle,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Right. So I have it almost around my whole yard, front and back, where before we had like wire fences. So I just see green. And I think I know that that's something that keeps you healthy. I have neighbors that come in my yard because I have some benches for them to sit on, and then I have a pond and a couple fish in there, and little kids will come in and check it out. So that's neat. I had one member that, a neighbor of mine that was sick, and he was thrilled. He'd take his walk to my house, then he'd sit down for however long he felt like sitting down, and then he'd go home. That's so nice you made your garden for me. It's nothing really fancy. It's just a lot of green and like some roses. And then my husband put a, right by our front door, we have a fountain. So we like have like a lot of water noises, which I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come in, you really don't hear what's going on outside, although our street's not that busy of a street.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice to have, I like the plants around. And I think it's healthy. When I see these houses that have no plants and no trees, it just, I couldn't live like that. And it also stays cooler. When everything is hot, my yard is cool.
Right, right. Nature, Mother Nature is doing her job to keep it cooler for you.
Right.
You mentioned a couple things that are really important for everybody, you know, with a lot of our listeners. Is, you know, even if you can't necessarily have a full garden or have the time or being able to invest in something like that, just having a few plants around and having a little water resource, you know, whether it's a bowl of water for like a reflection, or if you can afford to get one of the smaller little, gosh, they got little battery-powered waterfalls now, little fountains,
yeah,
things like that. They're
cool.
Super cute. Yeah, they're very, very, they're very super cute. So just things like that that really can help you to connect and stuff. Even just a little potted plant and have it on your desk, or bring a couple things into the house and stuff, especially with Easter coming. It seems really strange this year that we've got such a late Easter. Easter isn't until like the 24th of April this year.
Right. Well, the other thing, I think it's really important, like you said, to bring that in, because they're stress busters. If you're looking at a plant, you're not stressed. If you're listening to a waterfall, you're not stressed. And I think if more people would just try doing that, they'd feel a lot better.
It's like a stress buster. Do that buster stressing. Wouldn't it be great if we could have little plants that we just kind of take with us, and you know, you're on your commute every day, you have your little plant with you, and you could just enjoy your plant. I'm not sure too many people say my little plant buddy. There was a movie out called
You
could. I mean, you remember everybody used to
not?
Have their little pet rock. You have a little pet rock, you'd have your little pet plant that you take wherever you go.
And there's some
I might
that
try that.
Actually,
you know, that'd be really funny. I could see me going to a network meeting and I bring my little pet plant.
You should do that when you go to meetings though. Really?
I think I might do that. That's kind of
a
fun idea.
That would be a good opener. I mean, a good icebreaker.
Yeah. This is my philodendron. I call him Buster. Hey, this is Buster. Buster, you know, introduce people.
That's a really good
idea. That's a great
idea.
Yeah, I actually like that idea. I was really kind of bummed when the whole Pat Rock thing just didn't seem to, to keep on keeping on kind of thing. Because to me, I thought that was just a really wonderful way to connect to Mother Earth and be in a place of appreciation. And, hey, what's better to have? You can always take your Pet Rock anywhere, Nobody's going to say you can't take it into some place. So you can stick it in your pocket for a while.
I do. You know what I have, though? I have an appreciation rock, and it goes in my pocket.
Rock. Well, you keep it with you all times.
Yeah. Do they have words and stuff on them, or?
No. It's just every time I touch the rock, I say what I appreciate.
Oh, that's a nice idea. That's a great idea. That would be a neat thing to do for Easter, go and get some of these water rocks you can get that are just kind of pretty or whatever, and then give everybody an appreciation rock and say, that's a good idea. I've had this rock for a week, and every day I've appreciated you, and I want to give it to you now.
Stack of rocks. Have you seen that? I'm sure you've seen that. And sometimes they stay for quite a long time if they're pretty stable, There's an art to that. I forget.
There is an art to that.
There's some sort of Zen thing, too. Just looking at stacks of rocks and I don't know.
There was, it's like you were speaking of, that goes back to Carlsbad. There's places in Carlsbad because the beach there is really unusual because they're larger rocks. It's not like little grains of sand there. They're more like a pebbled beach. And it's not uncommon to go walking down there and see like six or seven rocks that are basically stacked on top of each other. But some would be like, instead of being flat, they would be end to end or something. So you'd have this vertical and then a horizontal, and they'd be in these really weird places. And you're looking at it going, how can they do that? And they're not rotted together or anything. It's just all balanced. And like you're saying, it's kind of a Zen thing where they basically just by somebody loving it and just saying, okay, how do we balance this thing? Some of them, I've just looked at that and I go, wow, how did he do that? It looks like it defies, gravity.
It takes a little patience, too. You've got to find the right rocks to fit together somehow. I don't know.
Well, there's probably little grooves or something like that. I'm sure there's some part of it. It's just all magic. It's just a magical thing. Yes, it's magic. I had a neighbor move in today, and they had their little daughter come by. Her name was Samantha, and she was only about a year and a half old. And I have these little ground covers. It's these little bitty daisies. They're about as big as your thumb, and they're little bright little yellow daisies, which I just love them because they're so cute and small. And she came up, and I went to go give her one, and she was kind of shy about it. And when I gave it to her, she kind of trembled all over because it was just like, oh, she got to have this flower. So it was really sweet. It was just like, oh my gosh, it's those little things of just remembering how beautiful the world is, how beautiful flowers are, and just the magnificence of each one's own creation. I mean, you really look at a flower, every once in a while, and just take in just the amount of just its essence and what it's saying to you on so many levels. It's just such a wonderful gift to give to yourself and give to another person. So, I feel very blessed to be a florist and have that opportunity to be such a giver of beauty. So I feel like it's part of my calling in life to be able to have that whole thing kind of going on. So we're down to our last minute, and I want to thank Tony and Jamie again for coming on and talking about flowers and celebrating a little bit of the spring fling thing happening here at the cafe. So we invite you to come back next week. Dr. Ward in the house. He's going to be talking about we're going to be talking about the male female and the difference between that sometimes in your walking and the way that you carry your body. So that should be kind of an interesting thing. He's always got something interesting to teach us, and we're looking forward to having him coming on. So we thank you again for coming to the cafe, and we'll see you next time at the Transformation Cafe.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio, Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again. travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.